about 25 years ago. I got audited after I did my taxes. Anybody ever been audited? It's one of the singularly most unpleasant experiences that you can have as an adult. Aside from, I won't say what David just suggested as another alternative, but there are a number of very unpleasant things that can happen to us as adults. Being audited is one of them. Do you have the same reaction I do whenever you get a letter from the IRS? It's like, I grit my teeth and I don't want to open it, even if it's a form. It's just, I'm just always afraid that it's bad news. And the bad news is, we've discovered that you've committed this gigantic fraud, which I haven't, or they've decided that I have, and we've adjusted your return, send us everything. You know, I'm just always afraid that it's going to say something like that. Anybody else have that fear when they get a letter? Yeah, okay. I remember the audit that I went to. I had to bring all my stuff. My accountant who did the tax return came with. And the auditor was a singularly unpleasant person whose fundamental assumption about everything that I said was that it was a lie. And that all that I was trying to do was deceive him and fool the government so that I could keep money that was rightfully theirs. That was his operating premise. And he was very mean to me and just treated me disrespectfully. That kind of person was Jesus' best friend. Talks about tax collectors. Those are the people Jesus hung out with. People like that. The kind of people who, in those days, backed by the Roman government, when they came to your door and said, "We're here to collect money for Caesar," you quaked in your boots. The little bit of fright that I get when I get that letter from the IRS, this was Paul or somebody like that, or Matthew rather, coming up and knocking on your door, and you worried. Because if you didn't give what he told you to, the soldiers would show up and make sure that it was exacted from you. Jesus hung out with those people. Anybody here ever known a prostitute? I don't mean in the biblical sense. If you do, I want to hear that privately later. I just mean, have you ever known a person who sold his or her body for a living? Yeah, I have too. I've known a number of them. And the lifestyle that they live is not almost ever the sort of glamorous, golden-hearted hooker that is portrayed on television. It's almost always very seamy, almost always in the middle of a great addiction, and almost always with a lot of disease and struggle and difficulty. It's tough. It's a very, very awful life. Those kind of people were Jesus' friends. Those are the people that he chose to hang out with. Ever know anybody who is really got a lot of wheels off the rails, just isn't doing well at all, who hallucinates and maybe swears out loud in inappropriate times and places, whether demon-possessed or just really mixed up? Those are the kind of people Jesus took as his friends. Gathered them together. Those are still, all of them, that whole list, and another 100 that I could add to it pretty quickly, are the kind of people that Jesus gathered around himself. The blind and the lame, from Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise and say, save, O Lord, your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I am going to bring them from the land of the north and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth, among them the blind and the lame, those with child and those in labor together, a great company. Blind and lame here doesn't just mean can't see and can't walk good. It means spiritually blind, emotionally lame, broken. Broken birds with wings cocked like that so they can't fly. All of those gathered together, those are the people Jesus loved. And those are the people that he died for. And those are the people that we are called to love because, truth be told, those are the people we are. Every one of us. Some of us hide those broken wings pretty well. But the truth is, every one of us is in that great company of the blind and lame. What's so extraordinary about the gospel is not just that Jesus loved those people, but what did he say he would do for them? Listen first to what we heard from Ephesians today. I don't know about you, but sometimes I think about Scripture as just another book, just another pile of words, just another thing to read. And I'm reminded that that's not true at all when the Spirit of God just comes right off the page. Even as in his love, this is Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 4. Even as in his love he chose us, actually picked us out for himself as his own, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, consecrated, set apart for him, and blameless in his sight, even above reproach, before him in love. For he destined us, planned in love for us, to be adopted as his own children through Jesus Christ, in accordance with the purpose of his will. This is talking about the Father. Because it pleased him, and it was his kind intent. Another translation says, because it gave him great pleasure. This is talking about God the Father having set us apart. All of the birds with the broken wings, the lame and the blind, and the whole great company, having set us apart. And it says, and it gave him great pleasure. Have you thought about the emotions of God? The only emotion that I've heard revealed about God in the past from anybody has been wrath. Seems to be somebody who either is okay with us or mad. And yet it says that we were set apart for love because it gave him pleasure to do that. And then listen to what Jesus says. As Jesus comes and lives this out and fulfills it and shows us what it looks like. This is in John chapter 17, verse 22. Jesus is speaking. He's talking to his Father, the same one whose great pleasure it was to set us apart to be loved. And Jesus says this, and this includes the hookers and the IRS agents and the terrorists. Jesus had terrorists as friends too. Now they were transformed by his presence. But these were people who killed Roman soldiers on dark roads in vans. They were terrorists, literal terrorists. Be like a terrorist today. They became his disciples. This is the equivalent of one of Osama bin Laden's followers becoming a disciple of Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'd have a hard time approving that. But Jesus didn't. Jesus just took them and changed them. And Jesus says this about those that have come to him. He's speaking to his Father in heaven. Jesus says this, the glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, that's his Father, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Jesus is saying to his Father, you have loved them even as you have loved me, and I have given them my glory. This, if this doesn't blow your socks off, then you're not paying attention. It surely does me. Jesus says that he gives us his glory. All of us, with the broken wings, he gives us his glory. And what Jesus intends, I know it's in Scripture, for his body, is that this be a place where the lame and the blind and the halt, spiritually, emotionally, physically wounded, come and find themselves safe. 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 Experiencing God's presence and his love through the body of Christ. That's us. We are his body. We're his hands and his feet. He desires not that we be under a cultural curse. That is, that we look like what the culture wants us to look like. But rather that we be conformed to the image of Christ, which takes the halt and the lame and the blind and loves them. Now the other thing is that Jesus gives us his glory. His intention is not to leave us unwell. His intention is not to leave us broken and wounded. Well, there may be parts that don't get all healed up before we go to see him face to face. But his intention is to pour his Spirit into us and to make things straight, to clean the way, to make it a suitable temple for the Holy Spirit. And he does that by healing in us. And it's healing which we can resist. I don't know about you, but sometimes I identify with my pain and brokenness. I think it's me. I think it's my identity. And so I cling to that because I think if I lose that, then I won't exist anymore. But what Jesus wants to do is take that identity that I think that I am and replace it with glory. Replace it with his glory. He says that he's given it to us. He wants to mantle us about with his glory, with his love. And that's the only reason that the church exists. It's sure not a social club. Well, sometimes it is, but that and when we enjoy each other socially, it's wonderful. But the purpose of the church is that generations who were not here while Jesus physically walked on the earth would experience Jesus in others. Would know his love, his willingness to be even with all of us odd ducks. Even with us who are sometimes really, really broken. And that he would be able to work through us to bless each other. There are days, I promise, I need it as much as anybody in the church. When I'm just having a really, 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 really bad day. Or week. Or month. And there are days when each one of you has got one of them. And Jesus gives us each other. That's how he touches us. So the gospel is the good news. It's not the bad news. It's not the not really bad news. It's not the sort of bad news. It's the good news. It's the good news about God's love for us before the creation of the world, about his restoration of us. I was in the colic this morning. As wonderful a job as he did in creation, how much more wonderful a job in restoring us to himself. How much more wonderful that Jesus, who had the glory that he had before the Father, before anything existed. The word in Greek is archon. Before time. Before even time was created. Jesus was with the Father and had glory. And had glory. And He gives us that glory. This is good news, not bad news. Live it. I think that's really what He wants from us, is for us to live that with each other. If church is, you know, if that isn't what church is about, I have other things to do on Sunday morning and on Wednesday night and on Tuesday night and various other times during the week. If that is what church is about, it's the best thing I can be doing with my life. It's loving you guys and being loved by you, holding you guys up, being held up by you, and all of us doing that together and sharing the glory that Jesus gives us, which is His, but which He gives us freely. Lord, if this is what you want to do, sign me up. Amen.